Hello, I'm Teresa Ayers.
And I'm Janet Gallen, and we welcome you to
Love Letters Live.
This is a place to learn to open your heart, to speak your mind, and to state your case. And this is a show really, above all, about gratitude. Gratitude felt and gratitude expressed, and sent and mailed. And gratitude, sometimes it even comes out of the mire of things you're not so crazy about.
Mm-hmm. So this is a love letter that can be sent to anyone at all for any reason and at any time. It doesn't have to be romantic, but it can be.
And just so it's on real paper, a real letter, and it's stamped and mailed.
Mm-hmm.
And just keep in mind that love letters can really be to anybody for anything at any time. They're to encourage, to heal, for inviting someone into your life, for letting someone know that despite bad behavior, you appreciate them and they can stay in your life. And they're custom designed gifts, and I say that every time because I think it's important. This is a gift no one else will send to the person you're sending your letter to. And I wanted to share something. A story came to me the other day, speaking of love letters can be for anything at any time, and this really did just chill me. A friend of mine said, I found a note in a bottle at Chrissy Field a couple of weeks ago. Well, that's certainly intriguing. That's certainly a letter. And he opened it, and it wasn't just a note in a bottle. It was many pages twisted and shoved, crammed into a bottle. Not the work of an easygoing person. And he read it, and it had been thrown off Golden Gate Bridge, evidently, and it was a letter categorizing everything bad done to this person and angry at everything and everything horrible. And then the next pages after this were forgiving all the people who had done these terrible things. Just forgiveness and forgiveness. So when I asked him if I could have a copy of it, he said, this man's letter, I assumed it was a man, and I pictured a green bottle. And he said, can I have a copy of his letter? And he said, well, the he is a she, which really never occurred to me and gave me a whole different something. And the bottle was a beautiful cobalt blue bottle, which gets to the point of choosing the envelope. It's part of the message, mm-hmm. Not just taking some old soft drink bottle, but choosing something beautiful for this important letter. And I can only assume that this letter served a really wonderful purpose and that she threw it off the Golden Gate Bridge instead of herself.
Mm-hmm.
And when I asked him for a copy, he said, I read it, and out of respect, I put it back in the bottle and flung it back into the sea so it could continue its journey.
Hmm.
So I just want to say that love letters and letters of forgiveness and letters of acceptance take just endless form.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Well, every week on this show, we have wonderful guests who have stories to share with us and who want to start love letters of their own. Janet,
yes.
Who is our guest this week?
Our guest this week is Marcia Iris Baum, who has been for 25 years a licensed clinical social worker, private psychotherapy practice in Noe Valley, and a part-time teacher at San Francisco State in family studies and addiction, violence, and other crises, as well as giving continuing education classes for licensed professionals. And Marcia is, I am happy to say, I've known Marcia for years and have so much respect for the way she lives her life and goes about things. And she is another one of our emotional glamour pusses. These are all people who are just so brilliant at sharing what's important. So I'm just going to get right to it. Marcia, welcome.
Hi.
And I want to ask you, which is what I always ask, what are the challenges, blessings, unexpected gifts in life that you've received and met and dealt with and embraced? And start with challenges, because we've all had those, and those are kind of the early ones.
Well, hi, Janet.
Hi, dear.
Thanks for having me on the show. Excited to be here. I grew up in Brooklyn, New York, on the 16th floor of a 23-story building in a very highly densely populated area. I'm an only child. I come from working-class background. Father was a construction worker, and mother, she was a housewife. And I was sandwiched between love and abuse. My father was very emotionally abusive at home.
And you had your grandmother living with you?
Yes, I shared a bedroom with my maternal grandmother. She worked on Madison Avenue. And my mother actually came from a different socioeconomic class than my dad did, a family of doctors, physicians, and so forth. And my father, some people would say she married down when she married my father. I think over the years my grandmother continued to hold resentment about that and anger.
And what did she like about him?
My mother? Mm-hmm. I think she loved my father. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, it took me many years posthumously to recognize after her death that she loved him. He was fun. He was lots of lightness and easygoing in some ways.
Well, how did the abusive part show itself? I mean, evidently that was strong enough that that's what you're feeling still conflicted about.
Yes, there was a lot of verbal tension in the home. A lot of berating, a lot of cursing, a lot of putting down female people in the home. My father, you know, he was one of 10 children, a child of the Depression. He had a lot of struggles, and he came from a physically abusive home. So he had a lot of anxiety and a lot of anger. He was often unemployed, and I think he just struggled through the life, took it out on his family.
By the screaming and the swearing and the
exactly.
denigrating.
You know, I often say love and violence coexist.
Yes. That's amazing yes. sometimes how the really ugly and the really beautiful can just walk through life hand in hand. And how was he to your grandmother? I mean, she was, as you say, of a different...
He was also very fresh, we would call him. Mm-hmm. And very he lacked respect for my grandmother. And she was a very proper lady, so that didn't sit well with her.
So you're getting two sides. You're getting an elegant grandmother, and you're actually sharing a bedroom with her, so she's right there a lot for you.
Yes.
And a mother who came from something different. So you're getting, like, what kind of messages about possibilities in life from both sides?
Well, my grandmother's message was continuing education. My father did, too, although he probably didn't graduate high school. He says he does, but I beg mm-hmm. to differ. Mm-hmm. He had intelligence and smarts of his own. But my grandmother had more a family of professionals who had higher education and were more coiffed and more polished. Mm-hmm. And so just the exterior seemed a little different.
What are the things you like about him? I mean, I gather that you're having difficulty really loving him, but there are things about him you definitely like or can see the value in.
He had many good qualities.
What?
Okay, well, he was musical. He was mm-hmm. self-taught. He played many instruments. I love music. Music is, you know, good for all of us.
And he would play for you?
He would. He would play at home when he was in the mood.
So that was a way of being giving, in a way.
It was giving, but it was very conditional. We never did know what mood he'd be in. But uh-huh. When he played music, we were all very relaxed.
And what else? What about
what else?
How is he with other people? Personal things.
Sometimes is a curmudgeon. He can be difficult to be with, and like flipping a switch. You never know if he will be funny and happy, life of the party, or moody and sullen. But there was something that I did want to highlight was that he was very artistic, uh-huh. and he did make me a poster, uh-huh. which I have in my office. I recently took it out of my closet. It was a poster with my name and my credentials in little silver sparkly glitter. And
how long had you had that hidden away?
Oh, for many years. I'd say decades almost.
Really?
Yeah. And I finally took it out of the closet after cleaning up, and I put it out, and it's pretty and perfect in so many ways, and there's a certain irony with that, in that he lives in filth and squalor.
Oh, my.
Yeah, he sure does. He has a hoarding problem, uh-huh. and he's very sensitive about that.
You can't talk about it?
I'm very delicate. Mm-hmm. I really do try to get him some guidance or help, but he becomes very offensive and defended around it. And
that's really interesting because music is such a precise, neat, orderly thing also.
Yes, he is has lots of
yes.
contradictions.
I see that.
Yeah.
And so when you go to visit him, for example, what's he like?
Well, you know, it could be a good day or a bad day. Mm-hmm. There was it's difficult to stay with him. Let me say his house is one of squalor. But one time I went out for the day, came back, and amidst the squalor, he had set up a card tray, a portable card tray, and he had made some food for me in the toaster oven and set it up, and together we watched The Wizard of Oz, an old family mm-hmm. tradition.
Nice.
Yeah.
And so does he still tend to be curmudgeon and short-tempered and abusive in that way to you? Or
he can be. He hasn't mellowed with years.
He has not.
He has not. Mm. But then there are times he's a lot of fun, and that's something I love about him, his jovial lightness. And as I said, when he can be childish, it can cut both ways. He can be a lot of fun if I'm in the mood to relax and have fun with him.
Yeah. So, in other words, if you can let yourself, you can enjoy him.
Exactly.
And let the other things go for...
Right.
Yes. So, let me ask you something. I'm going to assume that it's your father getting the love letter, but I'm going to say to you who gets the love letter, because I shouldn't assume anything. People sometimes change their minds.
Yeah, it's my dad.
Okay.
Where does he live?
He still lives in New York. Part of the year he's what they call a snowbird, and he goes down to Florida, uh-huh. And depending upon his health. But he basically is a native New Yorker with a lot of hit-the-street-running attitude, a lot of arrogance.
So were you sure that you could... This may not be so easy for you to write to your father, or you think it's going to be easier now that you've been thinking about it?
I'm not sure I can write to my father. There's still
really?
A lot of conflict.
Really?
Parts of him are parts of me. This realization stirs it up in me. I can be competitive. He can be, too. And he can be resistant, and I can, too, to new ideas. And I can get angry. But being aware of that has...
I was going to say, none of those things are really major crimes.
No, they're not. But they're things that I'm coming to understand and, love and hate.
What would be your goal in writing this letter?
Well, you know, the one thing I think the goal would be for me is to kind of let him off the hook. He had a hard life. He grew up in the Depression. He's really basically a good man, and he's always loved me very much, and I've always felt loved by him.
Ah.
He's always acknowledged my accomplishments. He's been proud of me. And that has given me sustenance to continue on in my education and become an independent person. I left home pretty early on after graduating high school, but I think it motivated me and propelled me in a way to achieve and to become independent. And the very thing I'm doing is something he's always been very proud of.
Well, that's a huge thing to say. Okay, so let's talk about the letter then. You want to do station identification
sure,
first.
Sure, I just want to remind our listeners that this is KUSF 90.3 FM, Love Letters Live. We're on every week, and we do hope you'll join us.
So I want to get back to Marcia's letter. Marcia.
Yes.
You're saying it may be hard to write to him, but I want to ask you something. We talk about a love letter. About a letter about someone else. A love letter is a letter about the other guy in a positive way. So the things that are negative that you feel, mm-hmm. that's you. And not that that's not worth sending in a letter if you feel like it, if any of us feel like it. But it's not exactly a love letter in the way we talk about it. We're talking about a love letter as a compassionate statement of truth and letting somebody else shine. And maybe how you feel in regard to the other person's behavior, but you just said with all that he has done that's negative, excuse me, that you knew he always loved you. I mean, isn't that a wonderful place to start?
Oh, absolutely. He has always loved me, and I have empathy for him. And you know, I do forgive him, and I do understand that his miserable behavior during my mother's illness when she was on her deathbed was because he couldn't deal with the pain.
Now, can I just ask you something?
Yeah.
There's something about the last person who was just here talked about forgiving. That's a tricky position to be in. And I'm wondering if you say, I forgive you, or do you just say these other things that imply I forgive you without putting him in the position of needing to be forgiven?
Well, you know, I have to forgive myself, too, for holding on and for being so difficult, too. I think it takes two of us. And I want to focus on the strengths in our relationships,
yes.
not the weaknesses.
And there sounds like there are just plenty.
Oh, there are plenty.
Yes.
Yes, indeed.
So go ahead. You were
Well, you know, during my mother's illness, she had open heart surgery. He had literally covered her up with newspapers and... as I said, because he didn't want to look at the pain and suffering.
Yes.
I was there during that hard time, and it was a time in which him and I bonded in a certain way, and I forgive him for his inability to really be available for her.
And that you're going to tell him that you know that your mother loved him for good reasons? You talked about that.
Yes, I am going to tell him that, and I'm also going to tell him I'm so glad he has a girl for now. She is a character, but she's a delight.
Uh-huh.
I want to tell him that my life is good, it's successful and happy. But I know he feels that. I want to let him know that I am satisfied, that even the negative I had as a child was instructive and
yes.
strengthened me.
So often.
And indeed, and my resolve to leave home and make a good life really had to do a lot with him.
And you're living the life you want and you're happy with it.
Indeed. Yes. And, you know, that he married a woman who thought the world of me and, you know, really balanced off a lot of the pros and cons.
So here's just a wonderful example, if I may say, of a lot of conflict, and then when you get right down to it, somehow the positive seems to be outweighing the negative when you start listing things. And that doesn't explain why negative in life and hurtful things carry so much weight for so long, even though they're fewer. I don't understand that. But
sometimes inexplicable.
Yes.
Indeed.
Okay, well, thank you. So you're going to write all this to him.
I'm going to try.
I hope you do. I hope you do.
Well,
I mean,
I have a question.
Go ahead.
How do you start a letter like that? Marcia has identified all the things that she wants to say, but sometimes getting a letter like that started. What's the first sentence? How do you...
Do you have one?
I actually did start the first sentence.
Perfect.
Really? Can you
Bravo.
Can you share it with us?
Dear Dad, on Monday I will be taping a radio show on KUSF 90.3 FM.
Good
it will
for you.
Be a talk show spot, and I am the guest on Love Letters, so on.
Oh, wonderful. And it's time to do one to you for a lifetime of what I... Whatever.
Exactly.
That's beautiful. Perfect.
Exactly.
So many nice ways. Okay.
So if our listeners were to take your cue and write a letter like this, something like this, they could start in the same way. They could say,
I was listening to the radio.
It was a show about love letters.
To difficult fathers.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Indeed. We're all
wonderful.
Difficult, aren't we, though?
Yes, we are. We all have in different degrees and for sure. And somebody will find that difficulty.
And we have to have a sense of humor.
Yes,
something
we
my
do.
Father has.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Yes. About ourselves.
Indeed.
Uh-huh. Okay.
How do you expect that he will react?
I think he will be very upset and angry.
Really?
And it will take him some time. Then he'll be distant and cold. And then he'll get into the recognition that he's very proud of me for being on the radio. But how dare me talk about such personal private matters?
Oh, okay. And you can deal with that.
I will have to.
Yeah, because they're your personal matters and you have a... Right to do that.
Right. I will try.
And you're not saying anything that isn't really basically loving and appreciative about him, except that he's a curmudgeon.
Yes. Well, he has a life of secrecy. He doesn't want people to know about
some
of the things I've just disclosed. But, I think I have to also understand that it's difficult for me to disclose these things, too.
Yeah.
And somehow it's very cathartic and therapeutic to say it out loud.
I think so. And I think sometimes you say things out loud that seem they should stay secret forever, and then you look at them and say, huh?
Well, so many of us are told in families to keep secrets.
That's
and,
right.
You know, we have to make our own decisions and choices, and this is the choice I made.
I'm glad.
I love my father very much.
I could tell.
Janet, I have to ask you a question. Now, in Marcia's case, her father has been very proud of her accomplishments. But that's not always the case. Some difficult parents are not proud of their children's accomplishments.
Right.
They are threatened by them.
Yes.
And so what do you do if you are an accomplished person and you want to send this love letter to your parents and tell them how happy you are that you have... Well, I don't want to say survive, but that you have taken the good that they have given
you,
and you have become very independent, and you're very satisfied with your life,
when
you know that they're not satisfied with theirs.
Oh, well, you can all that you just said is the letter, I think. That's beautiful. And then to say, and I know that so much of what I've been able to bring into my life, I've gotten from you in one way or another. And I think that's fair, because sometimes we look at what our parents do that's awful, and it's the negative example that lets us know what not to be and what direction to take, because we know that life is choices, and everything that we do, we have a choice to do it one way or another. And sometimes that bad example lets us know the better choice.
Mm-hmm.
Without being specific, you don't have to say it's your reprehensible behavior. You can just say, one way or another, I learned this from you, and I thank you.
Mm-hmm.
You're not, in a love letter, you're not whining, and you're not manipulating, and you're not bellyaching. You're just letting the other person shine, and that's the gift.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a gift.
Great.
I think.
Thank you. Do you have any other questions, Marcia, for Janet about your letter?
Well, it's going to be a work in progress, and I'm really appreciative that she's gotten me on this path, because it's time. My dad will be 81 next month,
uh-huh.
and God bless him, live and be well. And he has a lot of mishigas.
Foolishness.
I love him. Yes, Yiddish for craziness,
yes.
but I love him just the same, and I want to make peace for myself.
Yes, because whatever hook we let them off, we also get to climb off ourselves, because we're stuck in the same mire if we're filled with that, if that anger takes over. But I want to say, you said he's 81, and we talk about saying what you feel while you still have the chance. You always have the chance, but he has the chance to read it. And, as somebody said the other day, it's a nice chance to get your thoughts for the positive in order. And as one woman said, what am I going to say at my mother's funeral? we all die. This is something we may want to look at. This is an important time. We don't want to get caught with not having thought it out. Now, there'll be the positive to say.
Indeed. And one other thing
to put
it
aside.
I have to. I gave him a granddaughter. Yes. Maya is her name. She's 16 years of age. She calls him from the bus stop when she's waiting after high school to come home, and he is so appreciative of me for doing that.
Okay.
So I think a lot of times it's not what we are, our backgrounds, where we come from, but who we are. And fulfilling relationships have to do more with, what we can give in that relationship, because all relationships are difficult and have satisfaction and dissatisfaction and disappointment. So it's mostly who we are, not what we are.
And this is a nice little plug for when to use the cell phone, because we talk about a cell phone not being a love letter, and it certainly isn't. But look at what a wonderful constant connection and reminder of, yes.
Yeah. Right, and this is another great opportunity to say what Janet always says, and that is that this letter can be kept, and we hope you'll keep a copy of it, and when that day comes that your father passes away, you will not need to scramble around to write something about him at that point when you're very emotional.
Or to start looking for the love in your heart, because it's already on the paper.
Right, well, he won't throw it away. As I said, he's a hoarder.
No, I'm saying we make copies of letters. I think that's important, so we have them.
Oh, yes, you keep them,
because
too.
You say he's a hoarder and things are a mess. It might not be so easily findable.
No, but when I find it.
Yes, but you'll have your own copy.
Yes, I will.
And you know what? In 30 years, you might want to know who you were at the moment you wrote that, and you'll have it.
Yes. It's a pretty poignant and profound thing to be doing, and I appreciate
it. And I hope it doesn't take you too long, because like most things, the longer you wait, the harder it gets. Or it's like jumping in the cold swimming pool.
Yeah.
So every time I say, we're not sending this to get a result, we don't give a gift for what we get in return, but if there's something interesting that happens that you'd like to share with us so we can share with our listeners, we'd love that.
No, absolutely.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Lisa? We do love to hear from our listeners and from our guests who come back and report to us how it's turned out. We love those. So please do send us your letters. You can contact us through our website, www.loveletterslive.com. That's with no dashes or whatever. And there's a way to contact us, and so please do. Janet, we have a letter that from one of our listeners, and let me just read this to you and see what you have to say to this person. Dear Janet, 20 years ago, the minister of our church provided some excellent counsel that made an enormous difference in the life of our family. Since he counsels hundreds of people every year, and since it was such a long time ago, I doubt he remembers. He is retiring now, and the congregation is writing letters to him. I want to write a love letter expressing my appreciation. I'm concerned about making the private matter too specific, however, because I don't know whose hands it may fall into, thereby revealing family secrets to the entire church community. Saying the usual generic, thanks for all you have done for my family, doesn't feel like enough. My question is, in this case, how can I write a meaningful letter without getting too specific?
Ooh, I so prefer easier questions. That's difficult, because privacy is important, and it's important everywhere. And, you know, we talk about saying everything while you have the chance. It doesn't mean you should or want to say everything. Some things are still private. That differs for different people. I think there's a way of referring to incident. I mean, I don't know if there was a molestation that somebody helped with. You know, it's without actually saying, you know, the time my father molested my sister. To say in that, you know, a problem of inappropriate intimacy in our family. You had us take a better path, or you showed us the way out of that, or if it's financial. There's always a way of saying something. And by the way, I would like to encourage anyone who has a really difficult question, sometimes it just takes a little while to talk back and forth and see what the other possibilities are, please email me. I will be so happy to be in touch with you and work it out with you. Mm-hmm. You know, not every answer is quite as easy, mm-hmm. but there are always ways of saying something.
Thank you. Well, we do have time for one more letter.
Okay.
Is that okay?
Sure.
Easier. Dear Janet, all right. I think this one will be easier.
Okay.
Dear Janet, I just received a wonderful love letter, such as you describe on the show. What should be my response? Do I owe my friend a love letter now? I'm not nearly as good as he is with words. And wouldn't that make me look like a copycat or make him feel uncomfortable as though he were expecting a response from me?
Well, that really is a lovely question. And by the way, I don't mind hard questions. It's just that you have to call me or email me. We can't just do them here so easily. I don't mean to shrink from them. So this is really nice. If you get a love letter from somebody, yes, I think it deserves a response. It deserves something. And it doesn't have to be the next day. It can be in a month. It can be whenever you feel you have the leisure and the strength and the emotional ability to do it.
Perhaps a special occasion.
Maybe, maybe not. You can say, you know, I got this beautiful letter from you a month ago, and I've been reading it and not really known what I want to say in return, but I do want to thank you for it. And answer whatever points you can answer, but answer them, you know, point for point.
Mm-hmm.
If somebody remembers something beautiful about you, you can just say thank you. If somebody remembers an incident or is asking you for something, like getting together or spending more time together, sure, answer that in some really beautiful way. And again, if you're not sure how to do it, email me. Let's talk about it.
Okay. Well, again, we thank you, listeners, and Marcia, for joining us. We hope you'll be with us every week on KUSF 90.3 FM. We encourage you to put your loving sentiments into words and to send them while you still have the chance.
And if you think you need a special occasion to write a love letter, just remember that writing a love letter is a special occasion.
So until next week, with love from Teresa
and Janet.
Bye-bye.
Bye.